Project Assistance on CKUW 95.9 FM, bringing the issues of youth in and from care, from their lives to your minds.
Hey, wonderful. Thank you. Well, yeah, let our secret slip a little bit earlier.
No one told me it was a secret. I didn't sign no NDA. What are you talking about, girl?
Goodness.
Don't throw that at me.
Well, we have a beautiful secret guest that's not so secret, and he is here with us live in studio. So let's give a Voices hello and a System Kids hello and welcome back, because you've been here before, to Jay Rogers, our beautiful friend and champion of youth voice and meaningful youth engagement. You are the CEO of the General Child and Family Services Authority, correct?
I am, and I've been back in this role since January 2020.
Okay.
I also served as the CEO of the General Authority from 2007 to 2014. So I came back to do this job a few years ago.
Wonderful. Well, welcome back. You were definitely in that position when I was in care. So I remember the name and I remember the face from my 18th birthday. And, you know, when Maria had mentioned you when I first started at Voices, like, oh my God, that's my government dad.
And, and I still look the same, right?
Yeah, you do. You do. Haven't changed a bit. But thank you so much for being here with us. We're here to talk about the CSA with you.
Yeah. My pleasure. And maybe I'll just make a couple of opening remarks just
yes,
so
please.
Your listeners are familiar with what the General Authority is.
Mm-hmm.
So very quickly, the General Authority is one of four Child and Family Services authorities in Manitoba that were created as part of devolution in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Our role is to fund, oversee, and support mandated agencies who deliver child and family services across the province. My four agencies are Child and Family Services of Western Manitoba, Child and Family Services of Central Manitoba, my biggest agency, Winnipeg Child and Family Services,
mm-hmm.
Rural and Northern Child and Family Services, and Jewish Child and Family Service. So we serve primarily, but not exclusively, non-Indigenous families across the province.
Mm-hmm.
And let me also say how good it is to be back on
yes.
System Kids. And, you know, Voices and the General Authority over the years has had a wonderful partnership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, huge fan of Marie and Jane, of course, worked with us on our youth engagement strategy a number of years ago. And, you know, the General Authority is a big supporter of Voices. Your annual scholars graduation event
mm-hmm.
Is probably one of the highlights of my year when I get to come and attend that. And we're very happy to be a financial supporter
mm-hmm.
of that event, and we'll continue to do so.
We're very grateful for that. Let me just say thank you.
And
so
let me.
Beautiful how you do that without trying to take ownership of the network.
Yeah.
Just saying. It's beautiful.
Appreciate it.
And let me also comment on how excited I am that the Earl Cook Classic
yes.
is back. And having participated in many of those, I can confirm that the adults are, in fact, winless.
Yeah.
But maybe with Jana's recruitment this year, maybe, you know, maybe this is the year.
Maybe.
You never know.
Gotta hold out hope.
And, you know, Earl was adopted by the Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Detroit Red Wings fan. And
Ooh.
I just love seeing the pictures that Debbie, his foster mom, shows at the event. And of all the Red Wings and some of the hockey players that I admired so much. So it's just a wonderful event. I'm glad to be back, and we'll be out with my skates and stick.
Heck yes, we can't wait to have you here.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know. I love Debbie's stories too. She's got so many stories of Earl with the Red Wings, and apparently he was like assisting the coach, and he went sometimes a little too far, giving insulting some of the players, saying, "Why did you? You should have did this play." Blah blah blah. And they're like, "Whoa," but. Say, no, it's a beautiful event, and yeah, you never know. Like, maybe this will be the year that the helpers will lose, or maybe at least tie, or at least maybe not get totally slaughtered, like 10-1 loss, as they've done in the past.
So and I'm hoping Shimon's not there, because every year he drops the gloves and punches me out. So.
Oh. Yeah. So we got to see who else should we invite in terms of the adult side? I can reach out to them.
Yeah, I think we have quite a few community connections and resources that we've connected with in the past that we can, I would never say blackmail into, but we could probably be very convincing to get them on the adult team to maybe help stand a chance. I'm looking at you, Santiago. Just going to call you out right now.
Yeah. And Voices has their own jerseys.
Yes, we do.
We have home and away jerseys, and usually get someone to sing the Canadian anthem. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll see if someone will do the American one too. We'll see.
Maybe we'll get a Detroit's Red Wing player to zoom in and sing it. That'd be really cool.
That would
just
be
putting
awesome.
It out here on air for accountability reasons. But the Earl Cook Classic is beautiful, and it's one of many things that Jay has supported Voices in and been a part of in our many, many years of operation. So again, thank you so much for being here. And today we're going to talk about the Children's Special Allowance and any information that the General Authority has to offer, or maybe any what's going on. So what do you know about the General Authority? No, I'm kidding. What do you know about the Children's Special Allowance and who it's meant to be with or benefit?
Yeah, so the Children's Special Allowance was a payment introduced by the federal government in 2005, and it was intended exclusively for children and youth in care. Mm-hmm. And it was to match what was, I believe, called the Canada Child Tax Benefit at the time. It's now the Canada Child Benefit. And it provided funding to agencies if a child was in care for longer than 30 days, intended to help that agency meet the needs of the child or youth. The government at the time made the decision based on their view that they were providing sufficient funding to agencies to meet the needs of the children and youth. They instituted a policy that required any provincially funded agency to submit the children's special allowances to the province.
Okay.
And so that practice was put in place and stayed in place until, I'm recalling, 2018. I was actually deputy minister in the Department of Families when the government at that time decided to end the practice. There were then the subsequent lawsuits that were filed claiming that the provincial government never should have been clawing back money that was meant for individual children and youth. The province in 2024 reached a settlement. So without going to through the court process, and agreed to make $530 million available to compensate all of the children and youth who had the CSA clawed back and remitted to the province. Mm-hmm. So now, as we all know, we're in the difficult process of trying to locate former youth in care. I can tell you that I meet weekly with my agencies. It's a standing part of our agenda. We have met with the Exchange Group, which is the administrator of the claims process for First Nations and non-Indigenous children and youth. And we're fully committed to do our best to make sure every individual gets every penny that they're entitled to. And I can talk a little bit about what our priorities are and what some of our strategies are at the General Authority.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, thank you. That's a very good overview of what the CSA is, what its purpose was, and a little bit of the role that the General Authority played in. Because I think a lot of misinformation or just confusion is out there about how it was the CFS agency itself that clawed back that money. And a lot of folks are putting some blame on their social workers, and that doesn't seem like it's the case. It seems like it was the government.
It's the policy of the government.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Policy. Always bound by policy.
Well, I think, too, like, is it exactly like child tax? Because if it is, then, you know, I think a lot of people are having issue if they think that is the case, because, you know, people, all children get child tax, even if they're not in care with their family. But, you know, and I hear some families saying like, oh, I just gave my kid the child tax, it's all his. But really, child tax is not a monthly allowance. It's to help care for the needs of that child, right? And so I think some of the concerns that are raised is kind of from the foster parent community saying, you know, it's great that the kids are getting the special allowance that was taken, shouldn't have been taken, but how come we're not, you know, why hasn't foster parents' per diems for providing care been increased in how many years? People say 10 or 20 years.
It's been more than 10.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, is there, I don't know, what do you think? What would you say to foster parents that? I get a lot of calls from foster parents saying, how come we're not getting any special allowance? I'm like, well, you know, per diems are set based on the needs of the child, right?
Yeah, and the authorities in our agencies have very little discretion over basic maintenance.
Right.
That's something, those are the rates that the province sets.
That's the province. Okay, province.
But we have more flexibility over fee-for-service and special rates.
Right,
so
right.
You'll see, our agencies really do their best to make sure that beyond basic maintenance, we're providing enough supports for the needs of the kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. That's good. And that's what I would say too. So I know I've just kind of had a long, friendly discussion with a family this week regards to when their kiddo receiving a diagnosis and then they're wanting, you know, a higher per diem and then retroactive. I'm like, well, actually, when I look at, even though there wasn't the diagnosis, those needs were identified. And so that was already allotted for in the per diem with special rate. But it's tricky. It's always funny when it comes to money, eh?
Yeah.
Always.
Don't like it.
Yeah, there's so many nuances to it, too, as well. One of the things at the CSA that we heard a lot of was folks talking about the damages from it, and because there's a portion of damages, and understanding that this was damages for lost opportunities from the clawback of the funds and not damages for trauma that you endured while you were in care. It's specific to the CSA. So
There's actually, like, three components. One is the basic CSA amount, there's an additional amount for damages, and then there's interest.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that's what former youth and care are entitled to.
Yes, and you had mentioned in your intro that you were have members of your team trying to track down and hunt down former youth in care. What kind of measures is the general authority taking to ensure that former youth in care and some current youth in care are aware of their eligibility for this settlement?
Yeah, so it's a work in progress, and we don't want to duplicate the wonderful work that the Exchange Group is doing in terms of their marketing and advertising. So ours will be more targeted to try and track down our former youth in care. Right now, we have three priorities for the next couple of months of work.
Okay.
Our first priority, and we're working with agencies, and I've actually dedicated staff to go out and work with agencies to do this. Our first priorities is to support young adults who are on an agreement for a young adult, so they're still involved with us, because they're entitled to their money right now. So we're going to help them fill out their claim.
That's beautiful.
Get it in. We're there to identify all the dates that they were in care, which agencies they were in care with. So if they need ID, we'll do all of that to support them. That's sort of our first group. The second group that we're, and we have about 134 of those.
Okay.
Who are young adults who were in care during the claims period. Our second category are going to be 17-year-olds or 16-and-a-half-year-olds who will be turning 18 in the next year or year and a bit, because, again, they're entitled to the money.
Yeah.
And we have about 45 of those.
Okay.
And so, general, like I said, I've made staff available to, and we've run the names. So we will reach out to those young adults and sit down with them and help them get their claims in. And then the third group, which maybe is a less of a priority because the money will go into trust, are those kids or youth currently in care, who were also in care during the during the claims period. Mm-hmm. We have about 330 of them.
Oh, wow.
So, okay. So that's sort of our number one priority. Concurrently, we're working on a communication strategy to figure out how we can, without, again, duplicating the exchange group or duplicating what some other agencies are doing, getting information out where our former youth in care might be most likely to see it. Mm-hmm. And so we're working on a pretty comprehensive communication strategy. And I will be, and my agencies will be, hiring staff, because there is funding available to do that, to do the work to locate these former youth in care. The exchange group is currently compiling a master list of all of the general authority children and youth, mm-hmm. who might be eligible for settlement. We're not going to get that for a couple of months,
but
when we do, that's going to be very helpful.
Yes.
And so, we're going to be using social media, or a variety of ways to try and locate these children and youth.
Okay, wonderful. Is there any efforts, just as a follow-up, is there any efforts that are being made to track down maybe the families or the, executor of wills or estate associates? I forget what the legal terms are, but for folks that maybe had passed during or after care.
Yep, and definitely. Mm-hmm. And there's former youth in care who turned 18 and passed away after 18. Yeah. Then there's youth in care who passed away before they turned 18.
Yeah.
So there's different paths for those, and it depends on if you had a will, didn't have a will, and then if they were a permanent ward, we can get a letter of administration to file the claim. So, and we just learned that today from a meeting with the exchange group, so that's definitely...
Okay.
On our agenda as well.
Wonderful to hear. Wonderful to hear. No one's falling through the gaps at the GA. I love to hear it. So let's move on to another question here. You've answered most of my questions just from chatting. Like, oh my goodness. Are there other, so beyond these settlements, are there other initiatives that the General Authority does have in place already to support youth aging out of care?
Yeah, let me talk about a couple of really exciting initiatives.
Yes, please.
And the focus of these initiatives, and I'm going to talk about three of them, is really trying to create opportunities for pathways to successful adulthood. And we've had a real focus on, number one, supporting youth turning 18 to attend some form of post-secondary education and programming. And that's why we created a couple of years ago the General Authority College Fund and the General Authority Bursary. And one of the intents of the College Fund was because there are tuition waivers.
Yeah, there are.
But there are lots of post-secondary education opportunities that don't offer free tuition.
Yeah.
So you've got your Herzings, your Robertsons, your CDIs. You've got a variety of vocational training programs. You've got internships.
Mm-hmm.
You've got different pathways that are, in our view, are post-secondary opportunities.
Yeah.
So the College Fund will fund all of those.
That's
lovely.
Awesome.
That's
you
so
wanna
good.
Be and an or hairdresser.
Yeah, we've done some amazing things. And I heard you refer to some of the cost of tuition at some of the, and we've covered it. We've paid a tuition as much as $20,000.
Oh, wow.
We've sponsored a student to attend Harvard for a semester.
Oh, my goodness. What? Harvard students coming out of the GA. You heard it here first,
nice.
Folks.
and so that's one. The other one that we're doing on a pilot basis is, I'm sure you're familiar with an organization called Career Trek.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have partnered with Career Trek, and they've created a dedicated resource that's working right now with my biggest agency, Winnipeg Child and Family Services. And the Career Trek is going to be part of a bigger team. And the idea is that Career Trek will do what they do best, which is sit down with youth, sit down with groups of youth, take youth out to post-secondary education institutions to view programs to create that career path, that clear career goal for kids, and to identify the preferred, based on their aptitude and experiences, their preferred career paths.
Oh, I love that. that.
So we're not setting our youth up to fail by trying something and saying it's not for me.
Yeah.
So that's another exciting initiative, and the most recent one I'm very excited about is we just entered into a partnership with the Children's Aid Foundation.
Ooh, okay, yes.
Of Canada for $500,000 over 2.5 years.
Oh my gosh.
It's called an Impact Accelerator Approach, so it's kind of like a social impact bond,
okay. But
not exactly. And the it has two focuses there. One is when we enter an agreement with a young adult, oftentimes it's to support that young adult to graduate high school.
Okay, yeah.
And so that's one of the primary purposes, is to have this program in place to support those young adults to graduate high school and then move on to post-secondary education. The other target is when youth do enroll in post-secondary education, we know that we have a significantly high dropout rate in year one.
Yes.
So that will be the second group that is supported through this program. Quickly, the program has three components. Mm-hmm. It has a dedicated social worker. It will have a dedicated support to drive kids, to mentor kids, good. To help motivate kids, to create group mentorship opportunities. And the third component will be immediate and easy access to mental health supports.
Good. Oh, that sounds so amazing.
Yeah. Now, how am I doing for time?
You're doing
good.
You got
about a minute, too.
So the last thing I'd like to comment on related to this is we all know the statistics about youth turning 18 in care. Higher rates of homelessness, mental health challenges, low graduation rates. Mm-hmm. So one of the best things we can do is not have them turn 18 in care.
Yeah.
And so from a prevention perspective, from a practice perspective, we made significant improvements in how we work with families over the last number of years. And I can tell you in the year 23-24, the general authority apprehended 50% fewer kids than we did six years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we have over 40% fewer kids in care than we did 6 years ago. So that's part of the solution, is to make sure that kids aren't turning 18 in care. They're with family.
Yes.
And I'd be happy to come back and talk about some of the ways that we have achieved those pretty amazing objectives.
I would love a part two.
That's great. Yeah, and that's, I know, something that GA and other agencies have been working toward more prevention and family enhancement focus, rather than, you know, take the kid and expect the family to get better on their own and hope for reunification. But it's better if we can prevent the apprehension and help increase capacity of family and meet their needs. And I just love that shift, because for so many years it was about just protecting the child, removing the child, worrying about the child, and we weren't allowed to connect with the parents or auntie or grandma, because like, it takes a village. How do you help a child without including their family? But mm-hmm. if we can connect mom with supports and resources, and dad and grandma, and kiddo will do well, right?
Yeah.
Family is doing well. So beautiful.
And one of the programs that has contributed to that success is we introduced the province's first supported guardianship program.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that if a family member and, say, a parent or guardian agree that this child or youth should grow up permanently with this family member, we now have the ability to support them financially and in other ways.
Oh, wow.
So they aren't in care. They get guardianship, and then they still receive support?
You bet.
Yeah.
Wow. Is it all authorities doing that, or just GA?
So far, just us. Now, some of the Indigenous authorities are using customary care agreements.
Right.
To do something care, similar.
Right.
Yeah.
Or, right, make extended family a place of safety.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of what we do. Okay.
Okay.
Very cool. Oh, I mean, the time flies.
Yes, we're right at the top of the hour.
Awesome.
I have a quick last question just before we quickly go, just super duper quick.
I was born this way.
Yes, you were.
You weren't going to ask me how I got so fabulous?
I was. You read it out of my mind.
I know.
I was just going to quickly ask Jay Rogers here if there's youth that have already aged out of the system and they're looking for support in filing their CSA claim form. Is the GA able to help with that?
For sure.
Okay.
Call us. We haven't yet because it's much more complicated than I thought, but we're trying to set up a dedicated phone line.
Okay.
For any if you have questions, call us, leave a message, we'll get back to you, and we'll do whatever we can to help get those claims in.
Perfect. That's what we love to hear.
Awesome. And just a gentle reminder to our listeners, I know part of Voices as junior advocates, we always want young people to have their voice heard, and they, I think it's tempting when we have the CEO of the General Authority in the office to think if you have a concern or you feel like you're not being heard by your worker or your agency to just, run to the authority, but there is a process of advocacy. Mm-hmm. So I encourage you to, if you cannot get a hold of your worker, ask for a backup worker. If you can't get a hold of a backup worker, ask for a supervisor and then director of that agency. And if they're not able to meet your needs or resolve, your concerns at that point, then it goes up the ladder to the authority. It shouldn't be your first stop. Would you concur, Jay?
Absolutely. And that's, we do sometimes get calls and the first thing we say is, have you, followed the process?
Yeah.
And if not, we redirect them back to the agency.
Yeah.
And as someone who has received that guidance, calling all of the GA lines, being like, I need to file my CSA claim, it can be annoying to hear. But if you just trust the process, if you go through the proper steps and the proper rungs of the ladder, you get where you need to be. It can be annoying to hear, but it's super important to remember that there's a process for a reason.
Yeah.
And you're right. As you said earlier, the form is complicated.
Yeah.
And so that's why we're trying our best to get staff available to sit down with former youth and help them fill it out.
I've been telling kids, just do it. Sign up, go to the website.
It's not easy. You can call, you can call your authority. Don't. You can call your CFS agency, your worker. You can call Voices, the exchange group specifically themselves. But we are out of time.
Okay.
So thank you, Jay. Thank you, Jaina.
Thank you. Thanks for teaching me that I need to support my youth to fill this out. I thought that they could do it on their own. So I've been humbled. So you fellow helper that are listening right now, you should help your kids too, not just send them to the website like I did. Anyway, thank you for having me, letting me join the show, and wish you all safe travels. Stay safe, stay awesome.
Yeah, we'll
and
see you soon for part two.
Stay connected with your network. Ciao. Peace out, guys.
Bye.
Okay, hold on. What did I do?